How's it going?
I am very well. How are you?
I'm pretty great. You know, just getting through winter.
You've got something extraordinarily special to share with everybody before we get started.
Ooh, extraordinary. I can't even say the word.
I'll say it for you. Extraordinarily exciting.
Special. Yeah, I do. Well, I have two things. I have a video series that's happening right now called Heal the World, One Woman at a Time. And it's just sharing an inside peek at what goes on in my business and really any entrepreneur's business who is focused on women's health and just bettering the lives of women in general. And then that leads into my apprenticeship program, which is going to be starting at the very beginning of March. And I'm so, so excited about it because I usually get this influx of incredible women who really just want to serve other women in a really big way. And it just is so great to see them sort of blossom and evolve into more confident coaches and practitioners throughout the process of the apprenticeship. So that's happening.
Yeah, I love that because I have a lot of people ask me, how, Nat, can I do what you do? And I don't necessarily have anywhere to be able to point them in a direction that allows them to do that. And I haven't yet to date had the time to be able to mentor and support. So I think for anybody who has asked at least me that question or anyone that's curious about how that they could start to either add this element to their business or perhaps this is a new area and you're really excited about it, it's kind of for anyone, isn't it, really, that's interested, practitioners, coaches, heck, someone that wants to leave their job and make a difference in the world, yeah?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, you don't have to be a coach or a practitioner necessarily. I've had quite a few women who are in the process of studying to do something, whether that's to be a coach or to be a nutritionist or something like that, do this as an adjunct because they really want to focus on hormonal health and how food and lifestyle and supplementation and all of these factors impact a woman's endocrine system. So I'm a big fan of the science, as you know, and I love to break this stuff down and explain it to people. And so, yeah, like it's really, really helpful for so many women in all areas of the spectrum.
I'm going to join.
I feel like I could learn something. Oh my gosh, I would love to have you. So I think that that's like really the gist of it. And everyone can find the link for the apprenticeship and the video series in the write-up of this episode. So now we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our guest. On this episode, we're talking to our friend Kit Maloney about orgasms. Yay! Anyway, Kit, for the last two decades, Kit has been an activist, a student, and an entrepreneur committed to channeling her passion for gender equity into a celebration of women's sexual pleasure. She earned a master's degree in gender and social policy from the London School of Economics and has been featured in Marie Claire and Glamour magazines and is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post. She launched her multimedia site, Oh Actually, to create a more open dialogue around the existing taboo and yet ultimate importance of women's self-pleasure and to promote creative, beautiful, and hot erotic works made by women for women. Because genuine female orgasms heal and better the world. I feel like that's the best line ever.
Well, they sort of generally put women in a better mood, don't they? Kit, thank you for joining us.
I am so delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. I feel like that last line, can we talk about this? Genuine female orgasms healing and bettering the world? Share.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, that's my why. And, you know, I love this notion of really deepening into not only what we do, but why we do what we do. And it took me a while to come to that truth. And my belief is that when we release this taboo around women's sexuality and genuine female orgasm, we are also allowing women to be in their full power and their full pleasure, and then their full creative, embodied, activated selves. And that is what the world needs more of. And it heals us as individuals, but also in community. And there's the healing and the bettering of the world that even in speaking right now, I just have really good goosebumps around my body and knowing the truth of it.
So Kit, talk to us. Have you always been a fan of the orgasm? Like, have you just been doing this for like ever? Or did something happen?
You're like, yep, I was nine, Nat.
Oh my goodness, that is such a good question. I love you, ladies.
We're ridiculous, just so you know. We can't help ourselves.
I guess actually there's a lot of me wanting to say like, no, you know, I've been this like academic and activist and blah, blah, blah. And then the truth is, I think, yes. And it's actually been reflected back to me stories since I was a little girl. So when I, you know, as you can imagine, going to your parents and saying, in your late 20s, I'm actually going to leave my, you know, stable job and start a company all around women's sexual pleasure and orgasms and masturbation and release taboo around all of this. And I thought I was walking into a conversation that would be pretty shocking for my wonderful, delightful, both feminist parents, a man and a woman. And yet they kind of had this smirk on their face. And so I think that they have known that this has been part of me for a long time. I've never said this publicly, but they told me this hysterical story about how when I was a little girl, when I would take baths, I would like didn't. So my name is Kit Maloney. And I guess I would like stand up in the bath and say, like, I am Titty Moaning. Again, you instantly not are bringing out stories that I've never shared publicly.
This is what we do.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You heard it here first, people.
So I think that there are these amazing, you know, when we get older and look back on our younger selves, it's this amazing realization that we were always there.
You know what? I love that because can I say, I did, I'm a bit of a podcast hussy and I have several, let's be honest. And so, but this is a favorite. Let's just put that out there as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello. I was speaking with this is the longest standing that I am a part of. So there you go. It says something. But we were speaking with the careers coach and she was saying basically that obviously as children we have you know, we have wild imaginations and, you know, we draw and we express ourselves. And if we could go back to what that was as a child, it would give us more of a direction of where we're headed as an adult. Yeah. Like she was like, go and pull out your drawings and encourage anyone that's a mother to not throw out too much of their creative art and writing because it's probably in there already. And it you know, we can utilize that as a power to kind of pull us on the track later when we might feel lost or, you know, embarking on a new career. And you've just been testament to that.
And I love that. And the other piece of this is drawing that my mother has kept since kindergarten, which also was asked to do a drawing self-portrait when I was five and it was a businesswoman. And so these things can be matched in ways that are unimaginable in some degree as adults, that I could take that connection to body, that playfulness, connection to pleasure, and then take it into a business aspect. So it's really kind of magical when we let go of all of the how this should look stuff and just step into what probably my inner four-year-old knew I would become all along.
We do a lot of shoulding as women.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really good at shoulding the shit out of myself. So
yeah, I know, right? Yeah. We all are. Oh, it's so annoying. Okay, so tell me about our cycles and how they're connected to all of these things, because you mentioned about the fact that before you understood your cycle, you were Googling, am I bipolar? And then you finally got this information that you really needed, and you then realized that you're sane and you're just a woman. So I would love clarification on that, because I think that many, many women struggle with this every single month of their lives.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Like that is, you know, hand to sky, honest truth, was Googling, am I bipolar? How do I get more regularity into my day to day? And then really coming into this awareness that our cycles are evidence that we aren't the same person every day. And we aren't the same person within our cycle, but bringing more awareness to our desires around food, around movement, and around sex change pretty dramatically throughout each cycle. And bringing more awareness to that on all aspects of my life has been huge. But I think that when it comes to giving myself the permission to crave long, luxurious, touching and cuddling and sweetness, whether it's with myself or with a partner on one day, and then the next day or 2 days later, needing an aggressive dominance, like, come on, have me, is not a sign of me being sporadic. It's a sign of me being in tune with where my hormones are at and what I genuinely need and crave. So I really encourage women to not only deepen into their cycle in awareness of the nourishment through food and movement, but also in the awareness of the nourishment that they need with their connection to their sexual selves, because it really changes as our hormones come into and out of play.
And what about for those women? I mean, let's talk about self-pleasure, because not all of not everybody is always engaging in you know, couple sex, for lack of a better description. You know, because it's obviously not, I mean, I guess unless you're around a group of girls, it's not really an open topic of discussion, not where I come from anyway. You know, how do we break down these barriers? What do we do to help with it? Because I feel like if women understood their bodies better, as you're saying, and at different times in the cycle, you know, different, we feel like different things. You know, how can we create, what are we doing to create more of this conversation to make it normal?
I love this. This is what instigated me starting now, actually, was this awareness that this is a taboo. And I grew up in an amazing group of very delightful women that I've been friends with since I was 10 years old. And flash forward, you know, almost 20 years after that, and reading about how women are accessing adult entertainment in a way that has never existed before because of the anonymity that the internet gives us. So we don't need to go to red light districts or have barriers to the access. And that women are still carrying so much shame around solo sex, self-pleasure, masturbation, whatever term you want to use. And reading these articles a few years ago before I started actually made me understand, oh, there is still taboo in these long friendships that I've had. I would have told you we talk about everything, and yet we don't. And self-pleasure is something that we don't talk about. And I wanted to explore that. Like, why is that a taboo? Right? And usually taboos have some sort of power hold and grip on us and keep us from power. And so it's been really cool and illuminating and powerful for me to be holding a space where that taboo doesn't need to exist, that shame is released, and we get to talk about this more.
Do you think? I think it's interesting. We've done it to ourselves, though, haven't we? I don't know about any men out there that wouldn't be happy for a female to have an orgasm. Like, really? Like, do you know what I mean? we've done this to ourselves in a way.
Well, yeah. We've bought into the fear of it. I think that we certainly have subscribed to this notion that talking about sex really, really openly and honestly is something that we can't do, even amongst our female friends. And yet, once you get real and open yourself and are vulnerable with your friends, they're like so dying to jump in. Like, I talk about how the coolest question to ask a dear sister, girlfriend is, how is your sex life? And be ready to listen and hold her answer. And
that
we just
so good.
Ask that. We don't get asked it.
No, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that.
I'm gonna ask someone now after
me
this
too.
Conversation.
I do.
Okay, I should just vow that the next thing that's gonna be come out of my mouth is gonna be, how's your sex life? Do you know what I need to do after I hang up from this? Is that I need to ring to book the car in for a service. Let's hope it's a woman that answers. I'll be like, so thanks so much, Suzanne, for booking the car in. And how is your sex life before I go?
You're so out of control.
Like, honestly, I'm sure like she will remember that forever. And
I think she'll be happy. Like, well, she'll either be extremely offended, or I don't know. It could go either way, I guess. But I mean, this is why we need to talk about it a little bit more. It's not spoken about, and I guess, you know, we're a lot more liberated now than what we were even 100 years ago. And you know, but I still feel like in the right environment with close friends or whoever that might be, it is probably a really important conversation to be having.
It's so important. It's this huge part of our lives that we go around ignoring or putting some sort, and in that ignoring place, I do believe we put some judgment there and a ton of comparison and assumptions, right? So if our sex life isn't feeling good to us, we're assuming that everybody else is, you know, like everybody else is walking around having this amazing sex. And then when you can have these open and honest conversations, you realize that other people might be struggling or celebrating, but there's a lot for you to gain and learn from just releasing the truth of where you are at. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking powerful.
Okay. So that's the big takeaway of the day. How's your sex
life? Ask your service lady how I sex life.
Yes, there we go. I'm so curious about going back to our cycles and, you know, how they help us understand ourselves, obviously, and our own sort of internal cyclical nature. We want a certain type of sex on different types of days. I was kind of thinking of another word, but I couldn't think of anything else. Like
foreplay. We're talking about orgasms. Anything. Just lay it all out there.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm laying it all out there. I just was like thinking of other words that I could use besides just sex. But anyways, yeah. So can we talk about that, about how every single week it kind of changes our desire for the type of action that we want? There's another word.
Yeah. Actually, and I think maybe like you might have been wanting to touch around sensuality as well.
Yeah.
Different senses want to talk about that we want to have ignited throughout our cycle also vary. Mm-hmm. So it's that sensuality, that sexuality, and that activation, and it really changes. And there is patterning. So I always welcome balance. So I don't want to say, okay, once you figure out your exact pattern, if then you happen to be ovulating and want, you know, 45 minutes of massage before, you're somehow wrong, right? So like you want to bring balance and awareness to where your practice is and what your body is genuinely craving. But in deepening into looking at your sexual and sensual desires throughout your cycle, you will see these patterns and you'll be able to honor them and ask for them to be honored in a way that might go completely missing if you weren't present to the fact that you are a woman living in a period menstrual cycle. So I think that this is really cool because we have a lot of themes as women. So my mention of ovulation and like maybe not needing all that time, like the theme of ovulation is that we need less foreplay, if you will. And yet maybe that doesn't totally jive with you. I think like my invitation is to really look inward and sink in with yourself on what you know, and then share that with your practice, your solo sex practice, and your partner sex practice. And I've seen such cool things. And back to, I think it was Matt saying, like, I mean, what guy isn't excited to give a woman an amazing female orgasm? Like, when guys get in on this, they're so psyched. It's like, oh, wait, there's a pattern? There's a cycle I can follow?
they do come with a handbook, damn it!
Right? They understand follicular and ovulatory and luteal and menstruation, right?
Like, so funny. It's like, oh, I wish they came with a handbook. We have one, dudes. It's a cycle, and it tells you pretty much everything you need to know. Hey, I've got a question, though. What about those women who cannot reach orgasm? What do you say to them?
Yeah, I say you are amongst so many other amazing, wonderful, sensual, delightful women, and not being able to reach orgasm is incredibly common. And it's something that you might be experiencing at this point in your journey. It might be something that is more permanent than that, but if you can step into releasing just any sort of shame or guilt or story around not being able to orgasm, that's a really beautiful first step. And there are so many beautiful, powerful ways to be sexual and sensual without orgasm. And I feel so truthful in saying that, because I am fortunate to have connection to orgasm, and I also know how beautiful my experiences with sex and sensuality have been without it. So there's no judgment here about reaching a certain end point. And it's really about the experience of connecting into body and connecting into what makes you feel good and alive and in your essence as a woman.
I think that's really, it's really powerful and really beautiful. Do you find that that's common though? Do you find that women that haven't able to be able to reach climax, maybe they are not with the right partner, or they do have these beliefs running about it being dirty or not, you know, for whatever it might be, is that a common barrier that you see?
I think it's an invitation to look inward on what is happening in terms of your need. And often this is a true way of keeping yourself safe, but a need to keeping yourself safe from some aspect of true surrender. Because an orgasm, that release, is tapping into a connectivity to surrender and letting go. And so often when we're really unable to feel safe in moments of surrender, we're blocking ourselves from orgasmic pleasure. And so I think that when you're realizing that getting to orgasm is not something that you're able to do at that point in your life, it's that invitation to think and look inward and say, where am I so scared around letting go that I'm blocking myself from feeling safe and achieving this level of pleasure?
Yeah, that's awesome. So what about, you know, I know that we've talked about, you know, different times of the cycle and how we can feel like various or different things depending on where we're at in our cycle. What about, you know, encouraging women for more of a daily commitment to some type of sexual pleasure and helping them understand this is a beautiful thing? What's been your experience around that?
Totally into that. Yeah. About a couple of years ago, I thought it would be really fun and playful to write a blog post about committing to an orgasm a day for a month. And that has beautifully spiraled into what I'm running right now, which is a signature program through what we're actually called the Pleasure Pledge, which is just that. It's a daily invitation to commit to your orgasm. And wow. It's just like any other daily invitation to commitment, right? Like you say, like, I'm going to go to the yoga mat every day this month, or I'm going to, you know.
I quit sugar. I've added all orgasms to my regime.
That's what I was
going
to say. Like not, right? And like shit comes up. I hope I can say that. But like stuff comes up and you get triggered, you get thinking, you get resistant. And then it's also this inquiry of like, what's coming up? Why am I so resistant? Particularly when it's resistance around giving myself this level of pleasure and connectivity to my body and my essence. And that's when showing up and remaking that commitment can be so powerful. And so I've come to, this is a practice of mine. I take it seriously. I know it makes me feel better. Meditation, solo sex, yoga, those are my three. That's my like trinity. A medicine cocktail, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. What about for our listeners that are keen about the physical, not so much, you know, the emotional and the mental, but the physical benefits of orgasm? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, they are, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful how abundant, like, even now the scientific research is around this. So orgasms in particular are so powerful at rebalancing your hormones and helping you get into hormonal balance. And that is often for women something that is at the root of these causes that really plague us, right? So like even like holding on to extra weight or having lethargy or depression or anxiety, these are all things that the rebalancing of your hormones through orgasm can truly help with. Because orgasm flushes out the cortisol, that stress hormone that's rushing through us, thinking that we're running from tigers and lions, even though we're actually running to a board meeting and we're not necessarily going to, you know, be physically harmed through the experience of going to present at a high stress meeting, but we're still having those older biological hormonal effects, and giving us orgasm flushes out that adrenaline and cortisol and fills us with oxytocin, the feel-good hormone, and helps us rebalance everything. And they also help bring us into connectivity with a balance of estrogen and the thyroid hormone. And so it's really powerful and really fun and has no side effects. So, best in the world.
Excellent.
Like, it feels like a triple win for me.
I would say. What about, totally. what about people or women who feel like they're not feeling sexual, or they're like, their sex drive is dropping? Because, you know, obviously I hear about that all the time. And in women of like all age groups now, where they're saying that their sex drive is, has dropped or it's lowered and they just don't feel as sexual anymore. Maybe you can speak to that and help.
Totally. Well, also, like, I'm a human woman, right? So like, yes. I don't just like bounce around just like sexually vibrant every moment of every day.
Right. Of course.
Yes. I feel you're like the, that might be.
the orgasm goddess has entered.
So I would say to that woman, like, I hear you, I'm with you, sister. And there are these amazing ways, and this is where sensuality is my answer and my offering to that. Mm-hmm. Like, what can you do that makes you feel good, makes you marvel and appreciate? And this is a huge range, which is so beautiful, and can go from 5 minutes of sitting in the grass to a couple of really present moments of playing with the animals in your life or the kids in your life, or turning on a dance jam and just letting yourself rock up to it and being on your own. And if you can do that naked, all the better. And these are the steps, and it's just giving yourself a lot of patience, a lot of grace, and steps towards getting yourself back into your body, back into the appreciation of her, and realizing that she has this unbelievable magical ability to receive so much pleasure. And another very practical routine that I love offering is, if you're hearing this and it's like, oh my gosh, this, like, I don't have time for this. Like, this chick is like totally out there. I offer more consciousness in the shower. And what I mean by that is just when you're washing your hair, when you're washing your body, you're already going to do it on a daily basis, right? Like, it's already time that you've allocated. And when you can say in that moment, when you can be thinking about your appreciation for your body, loving her, washing her, saying, I love you arms, I love you legs, I love you vulva, I love you breasts, like all of it. And you're adding that intention and infusing that connectivity that then has such a powerful knock-on effect. And there's something about doing it in water that's incredible, because 90% of our body is made up of water anyway. And so we're just meeting water with a ton of consciousness and intention.
Yeah, I love that. Nice. I remember when, and I think I've spoken about this a couple of times and it stuck with me, Nicole, when we interviewed Dr. Annika Becker, and she was saying about how women, you know, often we don't feel like it. Often we don't feel like having sex. And innately, that's actually, you know, we're kind of programmed in a way that a male will generally want it and instigate it. And then, and that's completely normal. And I know that that made me feel much better. Just because, you know, often, you know, my husband will instigate that he would like to engage in that. And I'll be like, dude, like, really? Like, you know, you haven't had the day I've had. And of course, once you're in the moment, it's, you know, you're like, well, this is, that was actually worthwhile. Like, you know, I wasn't sitting there hating on it the whole time. And I know not everybody has a partner, but I think if you can pry open that little window of, you know, could I perhaps, you know, do I feel sexual? Probably not. But maybe there's a, you know, this glimmer of a window, especially if you're committing to an orgasm a day, that,
spot on. And this is what really opened my eyes to making that commitment, because it brings up this, like, well, I'm not in the mood, I don't want to. And I never want to force anybody, right? Like, it's called the pleasure pledge, but I lead. It's not a pleasure challenge. It's very purposeful on that note. However, it's an invitation to really look at like, well, could you take a pause long enough to open yourself to receiving this? And like, do we really ever consistently always want to do the things that we know are going to make us feel better? I don't. Like, I need to like march myself to the gym, right? Like, but like, I never like leave my like bar or yoga class thinking like, wish I hadn't done that. I leave.
That's so true.
Like, I'm so glad I went.
Good point.
Same thing. Sex is the same thing, whether it's with yourself or with a partner.
Yeah.
I love that. Kate, where can our listeners find you? Because I mean, I would actually love to keep on talking about this. We could probably talk about it all day.
I would love that. thank you. They can find me on oactually.com, on Facebook, Kit Marie Maloney. And there's a private, women's only, super safe, playful, fun, inspiring private Facebook group called Oh Actually Pleasure Pledgers. And I'd love to meet with your listeners.
Do you have to give a secret handshake to get in there?
Totally. I can't say it over the air though.
Oh, Kit, thank you so much. I reckon this will go up with one of my most favorite and memorable podcasts that we've recorded because it was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
No
yeah,
doubt.
Nicole, you with me?
I'm with you on this one, yes.
Everyone, please join us again next time for more Girl Talk Gone Menstrual. But in the meantime, do go back and check out those other episodes. And of course, please rate them because that makes us happy. And we think that's fun for you to do too, just while we're on the subject of fun. Thanks so much, Kit. And I'm going to say bye, Nicole, and we'll speak to you next time.